Welcome to Aspire. I'm your host, Gregory Penn, and I am deeply grateful you chose to share some time with me as we take a look at the good in this world. It's going to be a short program. Anyway, I want to thank you for lending me your ear, as it were, and I hope you're enjoying the programs and finding benefit in them. And if you are, I hope that you will also become a sponsor. You know, it is the only way in which we are able to sustain our radio program and all the things we do on the Aspire website, which includes our TV programs as well. All of this is done because of loving sponsors, people who seek to help us to sustain service to you, those of you who listen. And I am grateful that I have an audience at all, really. So I'm very grateful. I hope that you will consider becoming a sponsor. The way to do it right now is really important, because our sponsorship with our mystery donor is going to match your sponsorship for our year-end drive. We're having a year-end drive to raise money to sustain our radio and our TV offerings. And so we can make those new programs we want to make on the Heart Sutra. The way to make your donation is to come to the website at aspire.org. You can go there and you will see support on the menu bar there, right in the middle of the page. Just click on that. A drop menu will come down, and you can learn all about how to become a sponsor, your tax-deductible gift. They are tax-deductible. And more importantly than that, you are serving humankind. Many, many, many people come and listen to us. We're very, very grateful for our numbers. They're very high in that regard. And I'm hoping that you will become a sponsor and help us serve humankind for a long, long time. And you're not alone, because our mystery donor is matching. And that's really an unbelievable gift that he gives constantly to keep Aspire on the air. I'm very, very moved and touched by it. I hope you are, and that you will become a sponsor. You get all sorts of wonderful gifts for being a sponsor. You get the message of the month, access to all of the TV discourses I've done, which are 219 of them, something like that. And you get the commentaries and the podcasts and the video casts. And all of this is there to serve you, to take care of you, to serve you well. And those who make these donations are now being matched. And any donation that you give in year end will be matched. So I hope that you will help us. Sometimes I feel like I'm pissing in the wind here. You know what I mean? People are just, no, I don't. I have my own church, my own beliefs. Well, okay. Then why are you listening? Really? Go to the website at aspire.org and go take a look. The good in this world. Well, I can understand this one. I get with the recent horse manure coming out of the White House, and the recent craziness going on with our president and the Congress, and they, you know, if it was their medical expenses that were being questioned here, or in some kind of danger, you be sure that this medical thing would have been taken care of years ago. Healthcare would have been taken care of years ago. But it's the American public, and I do not understand patriotism. I really don't. I've never quite understood it with a bunch of criminals and crooks that we have. But that's a Greg Penn opinion based on no truth whatsoever. Anyway, with all that's going on, I got a slew of emails over the weekend while I was down in Encinitas doing a workshop. So I'm going to share a few of them with you and just maybe open your eyes up a little bit. The first one comes from Teresa, and she lives in, where is this? New Mexico. Hot. Why does good not last long in this world? It seems to me that there is very little good in the world and just a lot of treachery. Is this God's will? Is this the way it's supposed to be? What the hell, Teresa? Oh, what the hell. I'm going to not get into the God's will thing because the next question has that in there, and I got to save a little something for Linda, who wrote me. But let's just boil it down to why doesn't good last long in this world? I can tell you why. You won't believe it. You won't like what I have to say, but I'll tell you why. It's due to our participation in the collective unconscious. We make the world as such as so. We do. And how we live in this world with our minds and our logic and our sense of human justice goes out into the world. You would be very surprised at the power of your energies that are emitted from you constantly in and throughout your lifetime that are sending messages to the world. To everyone, you are a part of this big collective unconscious, this great big pool. And it's bigger than the ocean. And it's in there, it's all around us. And we don't recognize it because we're so busy being in it, trying to swim around it. Let me just say this to you, Teresa, and it's true of me and everyone else. Everyone has an opinion. Everybody has ideas about the way life works and how life should work. But we want to believe that these opinions and these thoughts that we have are our own, that we came up with it, but we didn't. It is the collective unconscious that made all of this possible. So all of that stuff that you see in your brain is not yours. You're not an original thinker. I'm not an original thinker. All of the crap that we come up with in our thoughts is like this smog. And we add to that smog and we listen to the smog that's coming to us and that we live in. And we just ingratiate ourselves to this collective unconscious and live in it constantly. It is our way of life. It is everything that is important to us. So when you are thinking in terms of what is going on in the world, you have to also take into account your world, my world. What are we doing in this world? What is this world all about? Well, it is about survival. It is about DNA. It is about genetic survival. So I am living off of my genetics. You're living off of your genetics. I'm living according to the instincts of my DNA, which says survive at any cost. And all of this is being perpetuated by my ignorance in the collective unconscious. I don't want to believe I have that ignorance in the collective unconscious, that I'm really that foolish, but I am. We are company people. And when you and I do not serve our spirituality, when we do not meditate, we lose what is called individuality. And when we lose it, we've lost everything. Losing our individuality through succumbing to the collective is what the pedestrian mentality is all about. You're only an individual, as it were, in this world, when you and I become one with the source of all life. When we are in the flow of nature and the nature of living, when we no longer have to have thoughts and ideas and ideals about what is right and wrong, good and bad, moral and immoral, when we're not interested in that kind of craziness. And it is insanity. And we are insane. Whether we want to believe it or not, we are nuttier than fruitcakes. So there you are. good doesn't last long because there is no good in the collective unconscious. Good doesn't last long. You do something kind and loving, and there will always be someone there to ridicule you, to question you, to tell you it's not enough or it's too much or it's not right or whatever. I hear it all the time. When I go to hospice and I work there, it doesn't matter what you do. There's always someone lurking around the corner wanting to criticize you for whatever you do. And this just keeps going and going and going, and it never ends. And if, Teresa, you're looking for accolades for the things you do, or even a smidgen of appreciation for the things you do, it's likely you're not going to get much of it. Very likely. So there you are. The deeper your good goes, the more intolerant the collective unconscious becomes. You annoy the collective. Think of all the good the Buddha did. Lhasa, with their beautiful teachings, or that Jesus did, and nothing came of it. What did Jesus get? Good Friday. That's as good as it gets here. Good Friday. Hope that helps you, Teresa. Be ye aware. Please forgive me. Namaste. So it makes you wonder then, why do any good at all? That's what people would think. You do good, I do good, not to be good, but to serve humankind, to help them along. And if that means you and I have to give up certain amenities, you give up a much larger, I could make far, I wouldn't even be asking for money, you know, for the radio program or whatever it is that I need to serve humankind if I said the right things. I mean, I wouldn't need... I know how this works. You tell the lie, you spin the lie, you spin the story that people want to hear. You can get anything out of them. It's all about their emotionality. Look at the money being generated for the storm victims. You know, it's all about, you wouldn't give them money just generally. You give that to, because you pity them, you feel sorry for them, blah, blah. You start to look at all these things. What's it take to get a nickel out of you? Or a penny? What good is your good when your good is only based on other people's tragedies or things that happen that are terrible? You wouldn't just do good. There has to be a reason for it. La, la, la. And there's where the problem is. Linda, we'll get to you. I'm here, Linda. What is God's will and what good is it when the world is the way it is? Linda. I've been asking that question for 45 years of people. You know, I never bought into the old God thing where, you know, there's this supreme being that has this mysterious message or plan for you. God has a plan for you. My four-year-old just choked on her thumb and died. And then God has a plan. I don't get it. But God, this is just stupidity. Okay. It is. And the American public is pretty darn stupid. When you really get into it, they're pretty darn stupid. So when you start thinking in terms of wanting answers to dilemmas that you and I created in this world, you and I created them, our gratuitous behaviors and desires, which are huge, never-ending. I remember, being in seminary and having them say the proof of the pudding of God and good is all the good things that can happen to you in this world. The man, it isn't true. That isn't true. It isn't true. That's not the way it is. And until you've met a person who is awakened, until you have met your own thoughts and realize what they're about, you don't know what's really going on. God does not have a will. There is no dude in the skies. I said in the last series of radio programs there's no dude in the sky, you know, who is torturing you and taunting you. It's Greg. It's Linda that's taunting. We're the ones that are the issue, not God. So stop blaming God. Stop walking around haplessly and thinking to yourself, well, I'm not doing anything wrong. Well, do you have desires? Do you have ambition? Do you have pride? Do you have vanity? Do you have all of these things? Do you have any? Well, not really. Not any more than him down the street or her over there. That's not the point. People can't look at themselves and have what we call self-observation. They can't look at themselves and see what's going on through self-observation. They just can't watch without criticism. When I do that, when I am critical of myself in the ongoing of my inner awakening, I don't achieve anything. I don't achieve anything that's of value or meaning or anything at all. So I have to start looking at my life differently. If I look at my life differently, then I change the way I live my livingness. Meditation, meditation, meditation. It's all about meditation. Once you are no longer fooled by the thoughts that you have, you will never be fooled again. Once you understand the nature of your emotionality, you will never be fooled again. We created God in our own image and in our own likeness. We make God what we want God to be, this all-knowing dude up in the clouds somewhere that grants and doesn't grant good. That's it. The good in this world is dependent upon whether or not Linda and Greg are going to do something out of the box, out of our provincial thinking, out of our stereotyped idealism, our pedestrian mentality. And unless we are willing to do that, we have nothing going for ourselves, nothing that is meaningful or sustaining to life as love itself. So you have to decide, Linda. God's will? How would anyone know? One moment he's creating man, the next moment man's creation is poopy because he's lonely and he's so sad. So what does God do? He takes a rib? Why does he need a rib from me? Takes a rib from humankind, from mankind, and creates the woman. And you know, you have to know, you bring a woman into any given situation and things change. So he creates woman. And then she turns around, this great creation of old God, and goes into the Garden of Eden and starts going, let's eat the apple. Let's just do that. You know, God said we shouldn't, but let's do it anyway. Isn't that the female mentality? Let's do it anyway. They won't catch us. I know you hate me, women. I know. You think I'm a misogynist. I'm not. This is all allegory. Oh, and then after all of this stuff happens, and we turn to hell, and, you know, Adam and Eve's kids are killing each other. God says, well, you know, I screwed up. Please excuse me. Let's just wipe out the whole world and start all over again. Really? This guy's a putz. And anyone who believes in this kind of thing literally misses the allegories and the parables that would make their life meaningful. And that's due to ignorance. You know, people will come to me and say, oh, I'm now a Christian or whatever. They don't understand. They don't have any education. It's all, religion is myth. It's storytelling. It's not truth. The truth you find in yourselves through meditation, through your own insight. It must be your own direct experience, Linda. If it's not, then it's mere storytelling. Who needs that? I hope you'll forgive me, Linda, and understand I'm giving this to you for your higher sense of good. Please forgive me. Namaste. God. The onslaught of human stupidity is just huge. All right, the last one comes from May, and she does not tell me where she lives. Where is the meaning of God in this world as good? My minister keeps telling me that God is good. Hard to understand, May. May. I'm not here to, you know, bug you, but your minister is telling you, all ministers tell people anything they can to get them to give. We are professional beggars. I do it on radio, on TV. I have to say, please help me, you know, this is, if you like this. But, you know, the difficulty is the truer the message is, the lesser of response you're going to get, the lesser good you're going to get, because people want what they like. And people are basically, just genetically speaking, predisposed to their DNA. They love their DNA. People will pay money to find out what their genetic heritage is. Like, that's going to make a difference. So you find out that your great-great-great-great-grandparents were born in Yugoslavia or something. So what? So what? Now what? What are you looking for in your genealogy? What are you looking for? That you're superior? Better than others? That you're a Viking and you went out into the world and you just raped, killed, and pillaged your forefathers, and that's now why you understand you have those same instincts to want to rape, kill, and pillage? What is it? Why is this so important to you? Where is the meaning of God and good in this world? It's in your heart. Not your human heart, but your heart. And should you give yourself over to the heart, a great awakening will happen. But you can't just sit there and say, May, oh, okay, I'll do that. There, done. Won't work like that. It's a real process. You have to go through many things inside yourself to understand how your mind works, how your emotions work, how they pertain to your thinking, and how they block consciousness. You see, May, the whole effort, the whole meaning of goodness is to come to the place where you have a sense of consciousness. Not conscience. Consciousness. And they are two different things. When I have a sense of conscience, it's because I'm looking at what I'm doing and feeling bad about what I've done. But consciousness is the ability to understand and perceive without thought. No process of mental duality without thought. This is a huge thing. And when living without thought is more important than living with a thought, that's when the real good in this world starts to happen. That's when you're going to start to see big changes in yourself. Don't be worried about other people. Don't be worried about what they think, say, and do, and all that other stuff. Don't. Be focused on the way of your heart. And if you meditate from your heart, I have lots of meditations you can get on the website at aspire.org that will help you with this. It will change the way you and I both operate in this lifetime, in this world. If you don't operate from the heart, then you're a part of the problem that you're bemoaning. And that won't help. May thank you for your question, and please forgive me. Namaste. I'm out of here. Back on the air next week. Hope you'll join me. You know what I'm going to say. Please forgive me, eh? Namaste.